So my next guest is on the line. He is David Bedin. He's a journalist and founder of the Israel Resource News Agency at the Center for the Near East Policy Research Center. And he's written an article which was published in the JCA, Israel at 78, Some Uncomfortable Truths. And he asks the question, why does mainstream media ignore certain realities, which we're going to jump into now. David, thank you so very much for being with me on The Home Run. Appreciate your input this afternoon.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to have the opportunity to speak.
David, I want to start at the end. I want to tell you that I've read your article. It is reasoned. It is sensible. It argues the case, and we're going to get into the details in detail, and it all just makes perfect sense to me. My problem with this article is, David, has that train not left the station? Is there anybody in the big wide world who has the bandwidth to listen to your argument at this point?
The story is not over. The story is continuing. If we make a precedent now of continuing these ceasefires, which are not ceasefires, they are hudnas. A hudna, which Israel has agreed to, is a one-sided anti-Jewish, anti-ceasefire notion. The idea of agreeing to a hudna, the Islamic encyclopedia defines a hudna as an opportunity to have a break in the fighting, and you can go back to the fighting anytime you want. That's the Islamic point of view. They have a point of view, but why do we have to kowtow to it? And there's no reason to have this is a precedent for what's going on now. People are listening. We're in the middle of the process here. There's no reason to strengthen the Palestine security forces. There's no reason to not make demands of our own. I mean, there are so many issues that Israel has to make demands of. For example, the issue of people think that the issue of pay to slay is an old issue. No, it continues to
we're going to get there. That's one of the issues you raise very strongly in your article, and I do want to deal with that. I certainly do. I want to just talk to you for a moment about this issue of a ceasefire. You're almost making it sound as though Israel has willingly gone into ceasefire arrangements with, if it's Hezbollah, even Hamas. They certainly don't even have a seat at the table in respect of Iran. It could certainly be argued that to a large extent, Israel has been forced into any arrangement that has been foisted upon it.
Not at all. Israel has to stand firm and state its conditions, which it's not stating. And that's the most important issue. The issue is that if you simply say, oh, we'll stop fighting without making conditions. I mean, there cannot be a situation where they're using openly this period of time to rearm, to reassess what they're doing and allow to do what they're doing. I mean, the fact that there are 135 nations supporting this Palestinian entity, not one of which asks none of one of these nations, which are not Arab nations, you know, and which not one of them are asking them to arrest those who are favoring these one-sided arrangements. No one is asking them to. They are not asking the Arabs to disarm. They are not asking the Arabs to, you know, they're talking about the word genocide. Well, they have a genocidal charter, the PLO charter, which is the basis of this new Palestinian state. Not one of the 135 nations is asking them to withdraw it. Very important. And the law that if you murder a Jew, you get a salary for life is continuing. Now, these are issues which could be. Israel should be addressing them in a strong way.
Yeah, I just come back to my initial point. I just wonder to what extent Israel has a story that people are willing to listen to at this point. And I wonder if, in fact, it told its story, who at this point is listening to it. I mean, I don't know if you've been looking at the press in the last couple of days, if you've seen the demonstrations in Italy. I mean, Italy was a friendly country towards Israel. Now they're running around throwing any Jew out of any march for the commemoration of Liberation Day, telling you should have been soap, openly praising Hitler. It just seems to me that that Europe has made such a quantum leap to the right that it's a it just doesn't have the bandwidth to listen to your point of view.
The other side has worked very hard. The Jews have not worked hard to make their point across. I mean, this is a result of years of work. I'm in Israel for 55 years, okay? And the year before I came into Israel, 1969, I witnessed some of this at the University of Wisconsin before I came here.
Yeah.
And I coined afresh an expression which was which people picked up on, which was that Israel is real. Israel is real. That it's not a matter of theoretics. And a whole generation grew up with the expectation of peace tomorrow if we acted peacefully. And this is a very short-term way of thinking. This is the problem we face. Maintaining that UNRWA is continuing. UNRWA is teaching every day their school system, which we have translated the school books. And if we had the opportunity to present these school books in parliaments abroad, and I'm not talking about necessarily Jewish people, I'm talking about the movers and shakers of legislation, when they look at it. I'm talking about people who are not necessarily pro-Israel when they look at the.
But they know all this, don't they? They know this.
I don't believe so. When's the last time there was a public discussion in the parliament in South Africa of the actual school books? They know about it in general, but they don't know in specifics. You tell me that the movers and shakers of the not only the now the South African parliament or the Jewish leadership in Broadway, have they looked at the school books? Do they know that
I don't think it would move the needle one jot. I think they've chosen their side. They know who their friends are, and I don't think anything that Israel could plea to would make any difference. I just don't see it happening that way. I mean, you speak about the hostages and hostage taking and the fact that Israel has released so many prisoners over the years and what a trauma that is for the families. And I'm just thinking, but David, did you see that Omer Shem Tov was due to speak at UCLA last week? Omer Shem Tov, the Israeli hostage who had been underground in Hamas captivity, and they wouldn't let him speak because they said it was unfair to present one side of the issue. It's just insanity, but it is what it is.
They get the Goebbels Award. The lie repeated enough becomes believable, and that's what we have. Our issue is to keep saying what the truth is, no matter what, no matter how well organized the other side is. And there's a whole world that does not know what the PLO is. There's a whole world that doesn't know what is going on. And our job is to make our point. And that's the whole point.
Okay.
If we make our point, we then make it with integrity, I think people will listen. But we're not making the point. All we say is we want peace. We want peace. Sorry, that's not the way in which you.
Yeah, that sounds kind of in these days and in this time, this seems naive and stupid to be making a comment like that. I think.
That's been the focus of Israel public relations has been. Oh, we'll present ourselves as nice people who want peace. That is out the door, and that's what we have to recognize. I'm not far from you. What you're saying. I'm saying that if this was the issue of Israel pointing out all of the issues it's facing in an open way. The lead school book of the Palestinian Authority praises a woman who murdered 38 people on a bus. We show this to the head of the United Nations, Guterres, in 2017. He was shocked, and he demanded that the PA and UNRWA withdraw the book.
Interesting.
Well, they didn't withdraw the book. They reissued it under another cover.
Goodness.
And there wasn't any follow up. Israel didn't have the gumph to say, excuse me, but that's not something that's acceptable. Israel has to be able to say, if you support. The murder, and you're not accepted, and live with it. That's one of the issues of backbone that Israel has to reinstate. And if we stand up with backbone and not with these statements of peace all the time, we may be listened to. But right now, we're not doing that.
David,
and
Medina,
I think Rabbi Goldstein's very clear. Rabbi Goldstein in South Africa, his very clear. Position of a very, very strong back with something can be admired and something can be understood. This is a his backbone is, I think he gets much more support than you realize.
Interesting take you have on what is going on in the world today. You make a strong point, and thank you for your time this afternoon. Appreciate your input.